Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode 22 of The Front Three. My name is Adam Boltwood. Joining me as always is the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
Happy question special.
Happy question special indeed. And also, of course, is David O'Brien.
Happy question time.
Wow. As the guy said there, this is a special questions edition Q&A. We're going to try and get through as many of your questions as possible. You've been sending in. There's so many to get through. We've literally been panicking about how many questions there
are. I'm not sure we were panicking. I was fine. Dave was shaking after pasting in 13 pages of questions that he's got.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
We're going to try and get through as many as possible.
If you ask for them, I mean.
In many ways, because last week we did a sort of transfer special. There was no time for questions last week.
We ruined it.
We've just reached 1,000 followers on SoundCloud.
Ooh, really?
A big milestone. We're hitting about 5,000, 6,000 plays every episode for the podcast. This is a sort of a little special thank you edition almost.
I love when people do thank yous. Oh, we're so grateful. We thought we'd make some more because we're arrogant enough to think you'll listen again.
Well, hopefully they will. Hopefully they will. You know, we're answering the questions. We're sort of, you know, obviously people want us to answer the questions because they're sending so many. So therefore they must want us to. But anyway. Listen, let's kick off with the first question. There's a lot to go through. Right,
there is okay, a lot. Off you go, Adam. Go, go, go. We're literally going to race through these fast as we can.
Right. Jeremy, AFC, at Cazorla Assist, always sent in the good questions. He's got another corker here. He says, what is the best five-a-side team with players that have transferred this summer?
That's a good one, isn't it?
Well, shall I start off? Shall I get it going?
Come on in. Come on in, Dave.
I think Petr Cech, has got to be the best goalkeeper signing. He's got to be in there.
Yeah, probably inclined to agree with that. All right, tick. That's one of the five.
Probably maybe Otamendi. Obviously, we've not seen anything in a Man City shirt, but obviously fantastic for Valencia last year. I reckon he could be our designated defender.
When you play five-a-side, I play two defenders. Is that what we're thinking here? Two defenders, one midfielder?
I was just going to play one, but all right.
Oh, I like it. It's attack.
Yeah, let's go one defender, maybe three midfielders and one attacker, or two and two.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you can only really have two midfielders and one attacker because you've got a goalie. It's five-a-side.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry. I usually play six-a-side, sorry.
All right, so we'll go for two midfielders. Let's go for Otamendi at the back. Unless, Lawrence, you've got anyone you'd rather see at the back there.
Good question. Would you? Yeah, I suppose we want a big defender. Yeah, let's just go for that. Who else could we have gone for there? What are the other options? I mean, you've got young players like Klein, not really an option.
Luke Shaw, Jordan Levine.
Luke Shaw was not in this. Luke Shaw
was it?
It was last summer, mate.
Otamendi is probably the most. The biggest.
He's definitely the most expensive.
Yeah. Mm. Is he therefore the best? All right. Otamendi, yes. Agreed.
Right. Midfield. I mean, Tom Cleverley did move to Everton. I mean,
top player.
Bastian Schweinsteiger, of course, moved to Manchester United. Morgan Schneiderlin, the sort of big headline movers.
He's got to be the main man, though, at Swansea, is it not? Andre Ayew, for his fantastic start to the season. He'd be so powerful on the other side. Beast.
Pacey, powerful. Yeah, why not? He's for free as well, so it's a bit of a bargain. Who would you put alongside him?
It's got to be. There's another one in there. Man City. There's another sign at Man City that we've got to get in there.
Who?
Kevin De Bruyne, hasn't it?
Cool. Yeah,
imagine him. Yeah. He'd score from anywhere.
It's basically Czech and then the entire Man City team, because Sterling definitely gets in there.
Czech, Otamendi, are you Kevin De Bruyne? Okay,
Sterling.
I can go with it. I prefer Sterling myself, but I like, you know, Kevin De Bruyne has probably got the stats. He's got the history to back him up.
I'd go Sterling and De Bruyne.
What over are you?
Memphis.
Ooh, Memphis is good. Wait a minute. At four outfield players. What if we was to drop the goalkeeper and just have Monkey Rush?
Yeah, but sticking Sergio Romero, that's how he plays usually, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Or yeah. I'd just put who would I put the bat up? I'd just put Otamendi in goal, and then I'd put in front of that Ayew, Sterling, De Bruyne, and
I tell you what, we could have a wind up merchant up front. We get Mitrovic up front to pit to like strike yeah. the opposition, get in their face,
or Wijnaldum, which would give us Depay. I want to put Depay in there though, so let's put Memphis in.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's a pretty solid five-a-side team.
Yeah, I like it. Keep it. That's a great one. I mean, that's just a Premier League-based one. We're not really talking about, you know, La Liga there. We've not really focused on. I mean, Serie A, you could, for that reason, have Vidal in there, Dave, if you wanted.
Oh, I forgot about Vidal. Yeah. Let's just do Premier League only.
Dave. He's the brawn to Xavi Alonso's brain, am I right?
Brawn.
Yeah.
Listen, that's one question down. That's one question down.
There's one down. 50,000 to go. Next. But let us know your five-a-side teams in the comments below. I'd love to. And tweet us, of course. I'd love to hear.
Wonderful.
We did the three.
Dale Payne, at Aussie Man U fan. This is the same Dale who drew that wonderful picture of
us. Great guy.
Twitter. He said, should the transfer window be June the 1st to July 31st so the majority of the leagues can start with their whole team in August? I think we might have mentioned this before. We sort of suggested that maybe you need to see your teams in competitive league action before the transfer window closes, because then you know where to make changes, where to sort of adjust your team.
It's also slightly to do, it's not slightly, they say it's to do with the crossover of when leagues start, so it gives people time to act, etc., etc.
Right.
So, I mean, there's numerous reasons why. I think it's working reasonably well at the moment. There's always going to be evil, negative parties. I think that short is a very short amount of time. Part of my thing is, why don't we test it?
Yeah, it's fair. I think I'd quite like to have the 1 month window. Oh, the 2 month window, because it means that teams have got a plan. Obviously, we are in a competitive market at the moment where loads of teams have a load of money, like Man City, Chelsea, Man United, you know, and then the whole of Europe, Barca, Real. It'd be quite nice to see these teams mess up in the transfer window and have a really stinky season.
Why would that be nice?
Because it sort of serves them right. Then the sort of the data teams, your Southamptons, your Midgetlands, they're going to sort of, you know, find a little bit of a more of a sort of advantage in the market, you'd say, because obviously the big teams do just throw cash at the problems.
That is a good point. Although would they still throw cash during the window though, Dave? The problem would then you've also got teams like Bournemouth who are messed up anyway, but they've signed two great players in the window and they're both injured now. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for just transfers being generally a hit and miss process, and it's very hard to go either way. But if we trialed it, yes, let's trial it. Let's do it for
let's
summer.
Have a go.
Yeah,
listen
Dave's
up,
right.
Yeah, we're going to trial right. it. Yeah. Listen, next question is from Charles Antonidius. I've said that wrong. Great. Now, can you come up with a name for us fans? I was thinking the number 10. You know, behind the front three,
EGC. I do like that.
It's not bad.
That is nice.
Number 10.
That is it.
For us, a little bit awkward saying, listen, the number 10, send in your questions. Feels a little bit.
Could be the tens. Send in the question.
How many tens?
Tens.
What would you call that region just behind the front three?
The hole.
We can't call fans the hole. Hey, tell me the hole.
The holes.
The holes.
If you play a front three in a 4-3-3, it's kind of like the midfield, right?
It's the Aymar area, which is number 10. Scatino, isn't it?
Number 10.
I suppose.
Okay,
the holes is a good name. I'm down. I'm going to call them all the holes from now on.
I think we'll stick with the number 10s.
Do we just call them 10?
The 10?
The 10. Yeah, the 10.
Okay.
It's a start. If you've got a better name, maybe it's the front threes, or maybe it's the threes, or maybe it's... Ooh, or maybe it's the magic number.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, Lauren, that's a great song as well, isn't it?
The front three is a magic number. Yeah, I'll be interested. I just want something to do this.
Well, another question from one of the holes, apparently. Max Dobney. Max Dobney asks, why is it that if Louis van Gaal doesn't make an obvious improvement to his team, he is stubborn? But if Wenger does the same, he is naive.
I think it's because that one is short-term and one is long-term. They have... People have spoken about Wenger consistently over 20 years, whereas they feel that Louis van Gaal has an idea that maybe people haven't seen yet. So it's more, it's an ascribed narrative. It's not people.
I'd say they're interchangeable. And you could Louis van Gaal naive and Wenger stubborn. And
didn't Gary Neville say he's one or the other?
No, he said he's either naive or, what was it? He's either naive or he is...
One or the other, right, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Which reminds me, while we're talking about Gary Neville, Gary Neville was a guest on Graham Hunter's podcast, and he's a wonderful guest. And Graham Hunter's got a series of good interviews, worth a listen if you like podcasts.
Neville said Wenger was either naive or arrogant.
Naive or arrogant. So, those three words, interchangeable within football, I feel, yeah.
But it's quite interesting with the Wenger thing. Like Omri mentioned that he sort of has this great belief in his young players. So maybe it isn't that we see it from naive from the outside, but then Wenger sort of maybe sees these players with potential a bit too much potential. Maybe it is naive then. I don't know. It's confusing. My brain is
from. Next question is from Finbar McMahon, who says, "Do you think it's gotten harder for clubs being promoted to the Premier League and actually establishing some sort of stability?" So, you know, who's come up this year? We're looking at Bournemouth, we're looking at Norwich, we're looking at Watford. Do you think it's gotten harder for those clubs to sort of establish themselves among Premier League clubs, or do you think they're going to be fine this season? Or
I think that it's going to get worse and worse, because obviously this is the TV money, isn't it? That there's such a gulf between top of the Championship, bottom of the Premier League. So these teams are going to have more and more money. So it's going to be difficult. Like, for example, when we reviewed the windows, obviously, if you've not listened to that podcast, go back and check it out. It's brilliant. But like Bournemouth, sort of Norwich, they didn't really have very, very good windows. They started all right, but there's no sort of real good. They haven't like got a whole Premier League back four, or they haven't got like a proven goal scorer that's come in. So I think the gulf is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then eventually we might go into a sort of NFL style system where, you know, teams move around the country. I don't know.
Wow.
Good. Big could talk. Change.
Robert, at Robert593 on Twitter asks, if you could have one more transfer to your supported teams, who would it be?
Assuming that they would come.
Yeah. Okay. Let's be slightly realistic then. Let's not go mental and say, oh, Messi. I'd take Messi. Lawrence, let's start with you. Liverpool.
Oof.
Maybe what's the one area that needed improvement?
Defensive midfield. But who would I go for is my question. Wanyama? Just so Liverpool bought one more. Southampton player? No.
Okay.
I'd go, maybe go for a defensive midfield player. That's the problem, though, isn't it? Is Liverpool are pretty... They look pretty stacked. I'd have gone maybe for maybe another central defender, because Colo Torre just doesn't cut it anymore, but Joe Gomez counts in there. You know, there's a lot of youth promise. I'd go for a central defensive midfielder, but I don't know who.
All right, Dave, what about you?
Dave, who would you recommend at central defensive midfield that's good at distribution? Emre Can?
Tolisso? Lyon, maybe Goulelon, another Lyon player. Basically, just buy anyone from Lyon, and they're usually quite good. Trying to think of other players at work. You know, Liverpool, there's a lot of defensive midfielders that have sort of moved this window. So, you know, the talent pool is surprisingly low. So we've got to think of someone like, you know, inside the Premier League, who have we got there? You mentioned Wanyama. You know, Schneiderlin was there on the market that obviously Liverpool decided not to go for. So I don't know, it's a difficult one. It's sort of like a target that Liverpool could actually get as well. So you probably got to go for a youthful player. What about Emre Can, though? Is he not sort of signposted for that position, Lawrence?
Well, or I think he should be signposted for that position, though. I was speaking to someone the other day who said they don't know if his attitude is right. I don't know how common that is, but some people were saying nothing to do with it being a bad attitude, but it just being not necessarily a Liverpool one. One thing I would say is Liverpool need to rotate in those positions, especially in central midfield where there's so much emphasis. And I just think, you know, you want another person in there. And at the moment, people are not saying that's Lucas.
I've got the solution for you.
Yeah?
But it's a solution for next season. So Xabi Alonso has 1 year left on his deal at Bayern Munich.
Imagine that, Dave?
But apparently, yeah. 2016 it goes.
But he's got big wages, hasn't he? Like €120,000 a week is quite a lot.
But he would be the missing link in that Liverpool side. You know, Liverpool do struggle with building from deep at the moment. I'd say, you know, Henderson and Milner are a little bit too predictable with the ball. Yeah, Xabi Alonso in there and you're absolutely laughing.
You know what? Dave has just hit it on the head. Xabi Alonso would be my final signing
of
the window.
He's the one more transfer you want. Yeah. Dave, what about you for Manchester United?
Oh, it's got to be a defender, hasn't it? And I'm going to go for a left-footed one because that's what Louis van Gaal wants. So I want Samuel Umtiti from Lyon. Started the season brilliantly. Completed the second most passes for Lyon this year. They've started pretty poorly, but they're back in their stride again. They will challenge for the title, hopefully. But yeah, he'd be perfect. Young, French, very, very good defender, good on the ball. You know, he's got it all, really. Very, very quick.
I'll go for Lacazette. I would have wanted to see Lacazette come. That sort of, it was rumoured at the start of the window. It died off very quickly. But it also brings us on to the next question from Joe Hamlin, who says, who is the one player that moved in the window that you wish your team had got? I've got to say Benteke. I said Benteke for months now. Would have loved to see Benteke at Tottenham. Do you reckon?
I think there are better buys probably for you guys.
Yeah, 30, what was it, 32?
32, something like that, right? Yeah.
But I mean, we needed a striker. Strikers are at a premium. We were looking at paying $25 million for Sadio Berahino, who's got a less impressive goal scoring record than Benteke. I think Benteke would have.
Apparently, though, there was that study that says that they overpaid for Benteke.
We'll come on to that.
By about $12 million. But I would have gone for Memphis.
Yeah, that would have been a great signing for Spurs, actually, wouldn't it? It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
But what about your...
I think Son's good, though. You know, I think that Son is a very good player for Tottenham. Maybe Tottenham need... Do they not need a similar defensive midfielder, like, sort of...
Well, yeah, we were in for the old Wanyama.
I think they need someone in every position.
What about you guys? What your team, one player who moved, who would you wish to come to your team? I mean, Vidal, Dave. This was someone United last year for, like, constantly.
Muller?
Yeah, definitely. Either Vidal or maybe Kevin De Bruyne or Otamendi.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all the City signings that are going to go down pretty well, you'd say. Trying to think, like, maybe Nathaniel Clyne as well. I was disappointed we missed out on him. I was disappointed that we missed out on Firmino.
Good player.
You know, there's players there that went to rival Premier League clubs, really, that, you know, you could have picked up, but...
Were you really disappointed to miss out on Firmino?
Firmino is a very, very good player. It's going to take him a while to adapt to the Premier League, but when he does, he's going to be really, really good.
Let's start whipping through these questions a bit quicker. German Chicas Jr. says, I think De Bruyne should have stayed in Wolfsburg for more game time. What do you guys think? I'd argue that he's going to get a lot of game time at Man City, so maybe not.
He wants a team built around him, Kevin De Bruyne, and that I don't think that's going to happen at Man City because they're doing it around David Silva at the moment, who obviously is a brilliant attacking midfielder as well. So I agree, he should have stayed at Wolfsburg for one more year and then potentially could have got his move to Bayern.
All right, next question. Baby B at KSW33D on Twitter says, why is Arsene Wenger a bastard during the transfer window? Great question.
There's another question who rephrases that slightly different, saying, why is Wenger a puss during the transfer window?
I mean, each one is equally valid.
Because of his belief and naivety or whatever it is that you want to say, right?
His arrogance, maybe. His
it's not arrogance. It's not any of the above. It's literally that he believes in his way. Is it outdated in the Premier League? What I would say is, with another manager, that Arsenal team has a whole different perception. And I think Wenger sees himself as that other manager, but there's just a very fixed perception of Wenger. So I don't think he is a hole or whatever people want to say. Well, he's a hole because he's a fan of the podcast. But I don't think he's an arsehole. All right? That's what I'm saying. I think, you know, if you change your perception,
Next question is from JF at JFenteng10. Says, is David Silva the best player in the Premier League?
Not anymore.
Yes, 100%.
He's literally the best player, Dave.
I think he is. At the moment, he is the best player. Current form, first four games that we've had in the Premier League, David Silva is the standout by a country mile. He's been absolutely running the show. Yeah. You know, four assists in the Premier League, more than any other player. He's passes in the final third, passes in the opposition half. He's just lit. Basically, everything's going through City at the moment. Everything's going through David Silva at Man City at the moment. And a player like Raheem Sterling, where everything went through him at Liverpool last year, he's sort of getting, you know, he's not the main focus of the attack now, so he can sort of be slipped in a bit later on in the move. The ball isn't coming to him that early. So I think, yeah, David Silva, what I would say, is the best player. Check out his assist that he got for Spain on my timeline on Twitter from this weekend. It was ridiculous.
The second part of his question, let's ask Lawrence, is... have Manchester City brought out the best in Raheem Sterling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I jokingly say that they've already added another 10 or 12 million onto him, whatever his price is. I think that's probably true. Wayne Rooney said it earlier in the week as well. And I think, I mean, it's not the most positive thing for Liverpool to hear. But, you know, it makes sense. They have brought out the best so far in Sterling. It's that simple, really. I think he's looking fantastic. Although for England... there are elements which he can obviously still be improved, but they brought out a lot of energy in him. And I think that was what Liverpool were going to lack. But yeah, that's the abiding memory for me, is the potential that Sterling had at Liverpool that was not fulfilled because he moved. I don't know.
Tradland on Twitter says, if you could choose a player from your rival team to play for your club, who would it be? I'll go for Alexis Sanchez. Lawrence, who are you going for?
Depay.
Yeah. Dave?
Sorry, I sound like a broken record. Kevin De Bruyne.
Nice.
Yeah, funny you've picked as the opposition team there, though, Dave.
Oh, is that a little personal dig at you, Lawrence?
Yeah, very personal. I mean, it's really a dig from me that I didn't pick Everton, isn't it?
Yeah, true, mate.
Imagine that, though. Right, I tell you what, if I did get a pick, it would be Lukaku.
Over Barkley and Stones, would you say?
Barkley and Stones. All I'm saying is Lukaku, Benteke, Sturridge.
That'd be so disgusting. LBS,
BSL, LBB, SBL, LB.
Dan Thomas says, who will be the most influential signing in the BPL? Kevin, a broken record again. Kevin De Bruyne, he could be that sort of very influential player up the field for City. Andre Ayew, who've already mentioned, is having a big impact at Swansea already.
I think you can't look at Bastian Schweinsteiger's impact to the club, you know, in terms of how they've described him in training and how professional he is and the experience that he brings. That's a pretty good signing in terms of your dressing room, I'd say. But you've got to look at Memphis as well. He's going to explode.
Do you think how old is Bastian Schweinsteiger, Dave?
He's 31, I think.
Do you think his impact has been somewhat, I don't know, overrated in some way, or
it's been muted. He doesn't look 100% fit yet. You'd say he's just bringing. You know, he's still playing 60 minutes and then coming off. He's not 100% Bastian Schweinsteiger yet, I'd say. I think you've just got to wait a little bit for obviously to acclimatise to the Premier League and to his teammates, and then he's just going to be absolutely ticking. As soon as sort of we get Memphis in and Martial in, those two players with great pace and, you know, the ability to run at people, Bastian's going to be that man who will get the ball from the centre-backs and he'll find those wide attackers. And I think it's going to come. I think the fluidity will come for Manchester United. We've just got to wait a bit.
True. So next question is from Luca K. He says, could Neuer be considered the best player in the world once Messi and Ronaldo retire? Right. He's anticipated your answer and he said, why not? I'd argue that the goalkeeper, although a very important position on the pitch, is not the most influential and not the most decisive in terms of winning games. So, although
Manuel Neuer is a world class,
majority of games, it's the, I'm fairly honest, the attacking players who are seen as the decisive players who score the goals, who end up actually turning the tide and winning the game. Therefore, I think it'd be difficult for Manuel Neuer to be considered the best player in the world.
It's funny you say that because speaking with Jonathan Wilson years ago on a show, and he said there are certain people in the world, especially some people who are goalkeepers now, who say the reason I was a goalkeeper is because when I grew up, I could only listen to the radio. So I either wanted to be a striker or a goalkeeper because all we heard was amazing save or great shot and everything in between you couldn't see. So like you didn't want to be anything but the two flashpoints. And now it's kind of interesting just to see the way that technology is influencing what people want to be, which is, you know, all the big ad campaigns and those kind of things are really influencing the kind of player that people want to be, I think.
The next question is from Mark at MMHKC619 on Twitter. We'll answer this briefly. He says, what is your opinion of Arsenal's lack of business and where do you think they will finish? Tough question. Interesting question, though. Lack of business, Dave. They've only signed one outfield player, famously the only team in Europe's top five leagues to sign no outfield player, sorry. Having only signed Petr Cech.
They did sign two young players or something, didn't they?
But they definitely signed a player that was outfield. Ryan Alladair, or whatever he's called. He's definitely a
Ali Adier, Dave. Are we all remember Ali Adier. He's not at the club anymore. Come on.
Are those players going to appear in the league in the first team this season, though? Really?
No.
Yeah. So there we go.
No, but in a few seasons' time, Adam, you'll be laughing on the other side of your face. But look at their squad. It's incredible. I mean, just look at that front line. If they bought a striker, people would be saying, what an incredible summer. They've only strengthened the places they need to strengthen, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but they needed to buy a striker, you'd argue. They also needed to potentially buy a central midfielder, maybe another centre-back. With Welbeck out injured now, it looks worse for Arsenal.
How many managers are there that don't believe in the Makélélé-esque central defensive midfielder?
I think the Makélélé's moved on to the Busquets.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, David. You know, it's a similar mould. But I mean, how many managers? You know, for instance, Brendan Rodgers almost begrudgingly plays Lucas Leiva.
That's true.
And I just wonder whether Wenger and that ilk of manager are looking at the same sort of thing. I mean, it seems as if Dortmund often set the trend. What's Dortmund's defensive shape like, Dave, in terms of midfield?
So Borussia Dortmund this season, they're playing with a single holder, Julian Welt, and the system's pretty working very, very well at the moment. There's a lot of fluidity in defence and in attack. A good example of a club that's lacking a defensive midfielder this season is Borussia Mönchengladbach. Last season, obviously, they came third in the Bundesliga. Christoph Kremer was absolutely pivotal to their team, but he's gone back to Leverkusen now. So they're completely missing that, and they're back. Their two centre-halves are completely exposed. They've conceded 8 goals in the Bundesliga this season. Only 2 teams have conceded more, and they are bottom of the league. So, Lawrence, a defensive midfielder, a ball-winning defensive midfielder, is massive in the modern day.
What I'm saying is it's the way that defensive midfielder plays, isn't it?
Yes.
And there's a lot of managers who are now asking more from their defensive midfielders than just breaking up the game. And, I mean, that's why... that's why maybe we're right, and that's why Xabi Alonso is always the answer to every football question.
Correct.
Thank you.
We need to start getting quicker because we are almost half an hour in.
And we've done half a page.
2 pages of 13 questions.
Okay, go ahead, Adam. I mean, if you stop bitching and complaining, would be another question in by now.
I'm just letting you know that we need to start getting quicker. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We're ready. We're pumped.
Faster.
Should Manchester United have signed a top striker and play Rooney as number 10?
Yes. No, wait, stop. No, they should have gotten rid of Rooney.
So they should have got rid of Rooney, kept Van Persie. That's all. It would have been better.
Bold. Aguero or Martial? Both went for about the same price.
Aguero?
Is Martial the next Aguero? I think no, says Dan on Twitter.
He thinks no what?
That Martial is not going to be the next Aguero.
I mean, no, he's not South American...
good point.
He's not short. He's not got the hair, but he's a completely different player, isn't he?
Yeah, in many ways.
I mean, they are two. I mean, essentially, I'm right in saying they are two different human beings.
Essentially.
But no, he's not next to Aguero. Will he be the Martial of the league? I really hope so because I'd love it. I'd love it if he just for him, not for United, not for Edward Wood, but for him and the team. He does bloody well this season.
Dayson Adamson at Dayson1996, friend of the show, says, do you think football fans should care and know what prices players go for? Yes. Transparency of financial accounts is important in football. You need to know what your club's spending and what they're up to.
Yep, absolutely.
Because undisclosed, that would be mental.
The more transparency in football, the better. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Kwame Ampadu Boateng on Twitter says, shouts to me from Ghana, straight up. Shouts out to me. Listen to you from Ghana.
I think he put that just to make you read it.
And he was bloody right in doing it because I bloody read it. Stewie Griffin says, who is the third best player in the world? Wow.
Luis Suarez.
Neymar.
Suggestion. I'm going to side with Lawrence and go for Suarez. Nicola F. on Twitter says, do you think that players' behaviour on social media platforms, i.e. Berahino, is exorbitant?
I think what they're getting at there is he's saying it's over the top the way that Berahino
is smart nowadays.
I think it's ill-advised at best, isn't it? People will forget those things very quickly. It's ill-advised, and he's still very young. I mean, you will have tweeted something. We've all got that reminder thing on Facebook. And it reminds you every day how you said something stupid 5 years ago. or you said something that now you completely disagree with. Or that you're just a completely different person in that short amount of time. So, yes, it's a bad idea. But what's even worse is that we hold them so strictly to account around those things. And, it's just a weird cultural thing, isn't it? It'll go.
Christian Josmer on Twitter says, have Spurs done enough business in the transfer window to compete for a top four spot? No.
Next.
Ben Briggs says, can I have a shout-out, please? Hello, yes. Ben Briggs.
Hey, Ben. Ben. Hi, Ben.
Albin P on Twitter says, who's the winner in Big Dave's transfer saga? Love the show, lads. From down under.
Ooh, I think that means he lives in Austria. Yay!
Austria, yeah, close enough.
Favourite of all the Alps.
What do you reckon? Who's the big winner? Manchester United.
Obviously. Yeah, it's got to be Man United, doesn't it?
I think it was Dave.
Yeah, I won pretty well because I wanted to keep David, and he's going to be going to get a new deal now, isn't he?
Exactly.
Hello,
big contract. Hello.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh.
Ruben on Twitter, Ruben Swift, he said, can the likes of Swansea end in a Europa League position this season? The way they're playing at the moment, the way things are going, yes.
But definitely.
A long season. I doubt the depth of their squad. I know obviously they have been very impressive at the start of the season. Last season they were very impressive, but I wonder if they've got the depth to finish in 6th, 7th position when you've got the likes of Spurs, Liverpool, Everton pushing for those. That sort of position, you know what I mean?
I think if Gomis goes down with an injury, that's going to be a massive, massive loss. Similarly with André Ayew, that's two big, big players for them this season. I think there's, you know, selling Nathan Dyer was a bit silly. He's a good squad player for them. So, yeah, I agree. But I think that with Gary Monk, you've got a brilliant manager. I think he won 11 points from losing positions last season, only better by Mourinho. So, you know, he's got real calibre in terms of tactical changes. He bullied United, picked up 3 points there. That was pretty much Gary Monk's doing. So, you know, good on them.
At Liam DOD on Twitter says, is Arsenal not signing a striker as big a deal as everyone is making out? They have got Welbeck soon to return and Joel Campbell still in the squad. Theo Walcott as well can play through the middle.
Yes, it's a big deal. Not in the way that everyone is making out. People are making a big deal about it being about Arsene Wenger culture, those sorts of things. No, just tactically out on the pitch. They need someone there. They've got options within the squad. Let's see if they fucking work. But we really should stop making it about ego or questioning Wenger or any of that kind of shit.
Next question is from Abu Keita on Twitter. He says, Costa and Hazard scored 34 goals with 9 penalties last season. Alexis and Giroud scored 30 with no penalties. What are your thoughts?
Well, Chelsea won the league and Arsenal didn't.
Ooh, well, Dave, that is very that's very reductionist, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit. I think that the likes of Costa and Hazard have a bit more than goals for them. They, you know, Hazard is a creator. brilliant attacker. He's the main man at Chelsea. And Costa loves winding people up. And that is, it's so good to have someone in your team that is a wind-up merchant. Whereas Alexis is excellent, excellent footballer. But then Olivier Giroud doesn't really give me enough in terms of he's just a poacher. He doesn't bring enough. There's not enough, like, in terms of being a wind-up merchant or, you know, being deadly with his head in the penalty area. Just doesn't have enough. But it's an interesting stat nonetheless. You know, they have scored more goals, but...
Right.
I think it speaks to the fact that Arsenal are still a decent side and people underestimate them.
Correct. That's where they're going to come third this year, Lawrence.
Let's get quicker. We're still only on page 4.
Go, Adam.
13.
Remember, it's not volume. It's like,
cool. James Kayser on Twitter says, which clubs do you think will have a surprise finish in the Premier League?
Liverpool next. Season?
Nice. At 36 years old, Claudio Pizarro returned to Werder Bremen. A good move. If so, for whom? CEI Sharif on Twitter. Dave, I'm going to come to you.
Yeah, excellent move for Werder Bremen. They obviously lost, what's he called? Sorry, I've forgotten his name. DeSanto, the ex-Wigan legend. I think he scored about 14, 15 goals for Werder Bremen last season, so they are missing that. Obviously, the main man, Pizarro, knows how to put the ball in the back. And I think it's a bad move for Bayern Munich, to be honest. He came off the bench a few times in the league and did all right for them last season. So, yeah, I think it's a bad move for Bayern, a very, very good move for Werder. A very good move for Pizarro as well, because he's going to play regular football at the age of 36. Excellent.
Regular.
Next question is from Graham Cumberbatch. So, no, I like this question, Lawrence. He said, Martial, : can you buy potential? I think I know what Lodcast would say. Hey?
Answer? I'd say...
You can't buy potential, you've said.
You cannot buy potential. No, but you can buy a teenager who is... promising to perform for your team. So
that's like potential, mate.
That's not potential. That's not really what I was saying, though, was it, Adam? So, I mean, if you just quote things out of context, then of course they're going to sound funny.
I'd say you can't buy potential, personally.
Potential.
Next question is, who's the next great England manager? Gary Monk, mate.
Obviously. Yeah, Gary Monk.
And he also asked, is Eddie Howe the real deal? I'm going to say, yeah.
We will see. We'll see this season whether he does... bamboozle people with his tactics. From what I've seen of Bournemouth, they look a little bit too championship when they get to the final third in terms of they just cross the ball a lot. They need to break the play down a little bit. They're obviously dominating games, but they need to slow it down, chill out on the ball, play some nice passes.
On a similar note, Joe Batista on Twitter said, did Manchester United just pull Martial's name from a hat and say, all right, Martial it is? I think they've been looking at him for a while. I think a number of clubs have been looking at him for a while. I think it's just a fee. The inflated fee reflects badly on the club.
Reflects badly on Eddie.
Maybe makes it look a little bit more of a panic signing than it perhaps was.
Yeah, I don't understand why they, if they wanted him so much, why were they not in for him?
Why did they wait so long to get him? I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Can Manchester United make it past the round of 16 in the Champions League? That's Joe Batista again.
Yes.
Hopefully this year. I think, like we were saying, they've got an incredibly talented squad this season. So you'd expect them to.
That's the competition they'll go furthest in. That's the competition they're going to perform best in this season. And that I love that.
Joe Batista is also asking, he's got a lot of questions in. He said, will Van Gaal be sacked during the season? No.
No.
Tension at Sally Jaw on Twitter said, which current player will go on to become a pundit on Sky Sports?
Oh, who do I want? Who do I want? Who do I want?
Not Wayne Rooney.
No. Well, Michael Carrick.
Yeah, Vincent Kompany. Hey, everyone loves Vincent Kompany. He's an intelligent guy.
James Milner. Yeah,
sort of. Oh, James Milner, mate.
Jordan Henderson. You mark my words. In 30 years' time, Jordan Henderson. He's the next Graham Souness, mate. What about foreigners, though? I suppose any foreigner could be a Sky pundit, couldn't he?
Pirlo.
Pirlo would be incredible. I'd love to see cheeky little...
Xabi Alonso.
Xabi Alonso would be yes, he's the answer for every question, Dave.
Another question from Tension on Twitter says, what position does Dave play? I assume he's asking Squawker Dave. Dave Bryan.
I'm a defender.
Love it.
What side? Dave. There you go.
Aggressive.
He has asked a lot of questions. I feel unfair answering so many, I'm going to try and answer just a few. He's asked, who will be the Champions League winners this season?
Barca.
Barca. They're going to be the first team to do it.
Yes.
Back to back.
Barca.
Who would you pick out of Gerrard or Lampard? Says Tension. I've always thought Lampard, to be honest, because of his... I just think he's the more effective player. Scores more goals, more assists.
Yeah.
More
goals.
Yeah.
Xabi Alonso.
Very good.
Xabi Alonso.
Today.
What do you think of the idea of wage cap for all players? The answer, of course, is Xabi Alonso.
The answer, of course, is yes, wage cap. It's got to be global. It has to be global.
Another question from Tension says, what does Dave do for Squawker exactly?
Well, I'm a product manager. So
fuck
I manage
all is what his manager products. Would say.
Yeah. You're a product manager, Dave.
Yes.
You manage products in many ways.
I do. I manage.
What does Squawker even do?
We do football stats, Paul. Come on.
Okay. I just ask it. I mean, you know, from the outside, it just looks like it's a lot of, you know, numbers.
A lot of banter. Yeah, it's a lot of numbers, mate. That's what we do.
James Kayser on Twitter asks questions for next week's doubleheader. You got your question in well. Best club sides ever graced the game. Mine is the 08-09 Barcelona side or the 10-11 Barca team. Now, it's hard to disagree with that, Burnham. If we're talking about our lifetimes, probably the greatest team I've ever seen.
I think that the 14-15 Barcelona team eclipses both of those teams.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I do not know about that.
Oh, I'm on it, mate. Or the Man United team of 2007-2008. That was special.
I mean, then there's the Liverpool team of 08-09, really, though, isn't there, Dave? So,
Lorenzo.
There is, mate. Yeah. With Xabi Alonso there.
Exactly, Lorenzo, Dave, exactly.
Lorenzo A. Castan on Twitter says, guys, do you think there will ever be a true ranking system for national teams? Romania 7th? If so, Squawker Dave should make the system.
Yeah, let's do it. I think they should use the club coefficient thing. You know, the UEFA Champions League, Europa League coefficient. I quite like that. That seems to work quite well. Obviously, the one at the moment for the national teams is absolutely absurd.
Aaron on Twitter says, if Mourinho leaves, which I don't think he will, he said, who do you think will be his replacement or who would you like to see replace him? I would love to see Rafael Benitez come back just for the banter.
Hello.
I just think it would be hilarious.
It would be pretty funny.
Yeah. His wife can get out that's again. A tough question because Chelsea have sort of, they've been through the promising young manager thing in Andre Villas-Boas. They've been through the guy at the top of the game in Carlo Ancelotti.
Who are they going to bring in if Mourinho...
Who are they going to bring in if Mourinho leaves? That's impossible to answer.
Dunga. What about Jurgen Klopp? Imagine that.
Yes.
You've got Mourinho that's so structured and...
Eddie Howe. Rigid, get Eddie,
Eddie Howe is a fair shout. Yeah.
Gary Monk. Brendan Rodgers.
Marcus Watling says, how easy is it for a good club manager to become a good national team manager and what are the differences between them?
This is a long this answer, isn't it?
Tough.
Oh, this is a great debate. This is going to be beautiful.
Through the question. How easy is it for a good club manager?
It's not easy. It's almost two different kinds of manager.
Yes.
Because one is a very long-term planning manager that sees you for a short stints of time, has to be excellent at networking, has to be excellent at instilling a different kind of mentality amongst the players, especially when it comes to motivating people around the national scene. One has to be good at day-to-day runnings of a club. Which isn't always the case. I mean, you could just be a coach, but the likelihood of that happening nowadays in the modern day Premier League / Champions League Championship is different. So, they're very different. You can probably more easily pass from club manager to international as you go down your league, but bear in mind there are very few people who can even be a bloody manager in the first place.
Yeah, I think the big difference is seeing the players. Obviously, managers at clubs see them every single day. National is once a month, which is a big thing. I think a club manager, you can bring your own philosophy. But I think a good national manager, the philosophy is dictated by that country, a la Spain, a la Germany. And then the good coach sort of comes in and sticks with that. Whereas at a club, you've got a lot more responsibility. You know, you've got to set things. It is different, completely different.
We're doing pretty well here. We're whipping through him, but we need to get quicker. So, Frederick Hallström says, question for the next podcast, who's better, Verratti or Pogba? Personally, I think Verratti is better. Yep.
Verratti is far more consistent than Pogba. Pogba's a little bit too explosive, whereas Verratti has been running the show at PSG for the past maybe 2.5 seasons, would
Great
you say?
Answer. Will Miller on Twitter says, who would be the better team, Real Madrid without Ronaldo or Barcelona without Messi? I'd say Messi is pretty central to Barcelona's success, but they also have perhaps a better quality of player.
Yeah, I think that
hard in the first 11 without him.
I think if you take Ronaldo out of Real Madrid, you'll see other players absolutely like flourish, come out of their skins. But I think with Barca, you've got like a Messi, you've got two Messi replacements there in Suarez and Neymar. So I think Barca would be the better team, but Real Madrid would be more interesting.
Yeah, Real Madrid would be more interesting. I almost feel like Benitez is almost hamstrung by Ronaldo a little bit.
Esau Delgado, Lawrence, says, can James Rodriguez win the Ballon d'Or? Doesn't specify a time.
Yes, he can. Will he? Yeah, but I mean, the likelihood of that happening is so low. Yes, you know what? Yes. Xabi Alonso, yes.
Yes, Javi.
He asked a few questions. He asked about 5-6 questions, but I'm just going to ask one more. SL Delgado also said, who's the tallest?
Adam. I know why you asked that one. It goes Adam, Lawrence, Dave.
It does indeed.
Well, Adam is the target, isn't he? And me and Lawrence are the inside forwards behind him.
Essentially, Dave. Exactly. Dave is the one who fits his position best in the team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Adam is tall, but he ain't strong. He's not holding anyone down.
They don't call me the Rock for nothing.
Yeah, they don't call you the Rock at all, mate.
They don't, no, yeah. You're right.
They call you Mr. Muscle, don't they?
Yeah.
Edward Hepner says, will Bayern win the treble this year if key players avoid injury? It's a big if, Edward Hepner.
Yeah.
Thanks, so, Hugh.
They're not going to win the treble. They're not going to win the treble.
Well, I think they've already lost Robin, haven't they, for 2 months? Well, a month and a bit. Picked up an injury with Holland. But Douglas Costa's looked brilliant so far for them, but no.
This is going to be a quick one. Hold on. David Lopez on Twitter, maybe David, says, are Manchester United going to win the league title under Louis van Gaal? The answer is no. Next question. Adnan Qureshi says,
I like
who do you think deserves to win the Euro 2016? Deserves?
Right now, based on consistency during the qualifying rounds, England.
Wales, the lads.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but mate, they drew. They drew just the other
day. What about Iceland?
Iceland definitely deserve something.
They deserve it. They
Scotland,
deserve it.
Scotland, so put harshly done by. What a game against Germany as well. More on that in the other podcast earlier in the week.
What about San Marino? Didn't they score their first goal in like 14 years?
What about Gibraltar, Dave? They got beaten 8. They were 8-0 down and they still scored.
Oh, like, that's good, though, isn't it? They got a goal.
I go, who deserves to win it? Wales.
Yeah.
Wales or Albania for keeping Portugal out for 93 minutes, I think.
Alex Emery on Twitter says, who are your favourite teams to use on FIFA?
I honestly really badly want to play FIFA 16, but I didn't play FIFA 15 at all. So I just never played, mate.
What did you do with your life for the last year, pal?
It's like you're not wasting your time on video games.
It's too busy just making podcasts,
Lawrence. What are you doing?
I've been something productive.
What? Freelance, Dave. I would say, who's my best team? I'll take a wild shot in the dark. Probably Barcelona, right?
Mm.
It's all about Real Madrid, is it not?
No, my favourite is Barcelona. Barcelona are the most fun to play with. You've got Neymar, 5-star skiller on the left. You've got Messi, you've got Suarez.
Well, not anymore, mate. Not anymore. Well, I mean, now we've got whole new teams that we can experiment with on FIFA 16.
This is a great question and a very tough question. It's from Josh Barton. He says, who's the worst player to ever play for the team you support?
Mine's so easy. Yeah. So easy. Bebe. Yeah. He was absolutely rubbish.
Are you sure it's not Obertan?
No, it's, I don't know. No, Bebe, definitely Bebe. Obertan was all right in the League Cup a few times, but Bebe was just rubbish. Remember that game against Wolves where he had like 7 crosses and they were all like just smashed into the second
Horrific.
Tier? Terrible player.
I hated.
You've got a long list of choices.
Paulinho.
Paulinho wasn't so bad, I've got to say. But I think Vlad Chiriquez didn't look like he belonged on a football pitch, which is a pretty damning indictment. Andy Reid going back a few years.
Oh, yeah.
Was pretty bad, and he cost us about $7 million or something like that. So.
Salif Diao was fairly horrific for Liverpool. Jimmy Traore was a pretty bad player in his time at Liverpool. Somehow scored a Cruyff-turn own goal to send them out of the FA Cup one year. That was a pretty bad low.
Chabi Alonso.
Yeah, he was not a great player. El Hadj Diouf was just a dick the whole time he was at Liverpool.
Without a doubt.
And I don't know. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. He just doesn't come across that way. Benitez had a couple of poor players in his time. Liverpool traded Antonio Nunes. He wasn't the worst ever, but he wasn't great. Shit. Mark Gonzalez was not the player that everyone hoped he would be for Benitez. Jan Kromkamp was a solid player, but again, not incredible. Didn't deserve worst ever. Maybe Charles Etange. Goalkeeper.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he was bad. And nothing to do with him as a player. He apparently smiled or laughed or something at Justice for 96. I think it was a memorial for Hillsborough and was taken out of the club. And for that reason, he was the worst player ever to play for the club.
Yeah, fair.
Next question, skipping along, is FaZe Palwala. Says, what will be Louis van Gaal's legacy at Manchester United? I think we've spoken about this before. Perhaps having left a legacy of youngish players, a good team, a good squad for the next manager to potentially win the league with, to actually achieve something with. It feels like Louis van Gaal is sort of in this weird transitional.
Some well-drilled players, right?
Is he just going to be the man that got rid of Javier Hernandez and Yanazai?
Yes, that would be the defining moment.
Cleared the deadwood, but then also got rid of some pretty good players. Shinji Kagawa that went under Van Gaal. He was having a fantastic season, by ad for Borussia Dortmund.
I think it'll be relief that Van Gaal is gone. not in a terrible way, but just relief that it's sort of, wow,
it's over, Lawrence.
But then also, the looking back, thinking, you know, he's almost like one of those teachers where you think, oh, God, I do not want to have to go to his class. But at the same time, when you finish, you're like, well, I got an A. So, you know, I think that's what's going to be the feeling at United.
Do you think the EPL will lose a spot in the Champions League after this season? Says Loue Morad.
I hope not, but I think they will.
Do you think they will? I think they're going to do well in both the Europa and Champions League this season.
I think the Van Gaal with United, obviously very tactically astute. Chelsea are going to go far this season. City look a lot better. Arsenal, you never know whether they're going to play a side like Monaco. Obviously, Monaco aren't in the Champions League, but they've got a banana skin to dodge, I think. And they've got to avoid Bayern Munich, haven't they? But
next question comes from Ryan Date, who asks, biggest footballer you've ever met?
Height-wise?
Yeah. We better confirm one, haven't we?
Adam Boltwood.
Massive. No, Rio Ferdinand's taller than me. I've met Rio Ferdinand. He's bloody massive. He's an absolute tank. He's probably the biggest, most famous and tallest footballer I've ever met, Rio Ferdinand.
Wow.
What about you, Dave?
I don't know, Ian Wright or, you know, some of those lads that we...
He's tiny, mate.
We've all met Ian Wright, mate.
Pesky? He was five, pretty small as well.
I'm pretty sure he means biggest in terms of the biggest we've met, fame-wise. I don't think he actually means height. Like, that would be a ridiculous question.
I prefer to interpret it that way.
Yeah, but that's because you know you've only met Rio Ferdinand. Oh.
Yeah, basically.
I met Mark Van Bommel once. He was like...
Ryan Date, the very same, is asking best player not to get in the Premier League team of the season last year.
Ozzy Ardiles. Neil Ruddock. I met Neil Ruddock once.
Yes.
He is a man mountain. All right, he's massive. Yeah.
Hey, let me just read it really quickly. The team of the season last year was David Haya, Ryan Bertrand, John Terry, Gary Cahill, Branislav Ivanovic, Nemanja Matic, Philippe Coutinho, Eden Hazard, Alexis Sanchez, Harry Kane, and Diego Costa. The obvious answer is Sergio Aguero, best player in the Premier League team of the season last year. Right. Next question.
David Silva, question mark.
Lawrence McKenna.
Oh, yeah. great shout.
Xabi Alonso.
Xabi Alonso, fucking hell, Lance, what, seriously?
James Kayser, again, is asking best player, oddly specifically, is asking best player over 33.
Well, Lawrence?
Or is that odd because it's the front three? Maybe that's why he's asking 33, 3-3, yada yada. Is he Xabi Alonso? Is he over 33 yet?
Xabi Alonso is the age of 33. So he's not over 33.
Is it over 33?
He is 33.
Montreal Impact over the weekend.
You got Ibrahimovic, you got Xavi, you got Buffon, Di Natale, Samuel Eto'o, Gerrard,
Pizarro.
For performing at the highest level, it's got to be Buffon, surely.
Probably, yeah. Well, old Chabby. It's got to be Chabby, is it not? You know,
he's not over 33, though.
Ah, fair play.
Dave, stop with the age thing and getting it wrong.
Sorry, mate.
I can't believe Xabi Alonso's 33. He looks great.
quickly.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Xabi Alonso.
John Terry.
Right, next question. Will Holland qualify for Euro 2016? They will probably squeak into the playoffs and they'll probably be all right. Predictions for the UCL Final Four and top two teams in each of the top. It's too long.
It's too early. Let's do it
rapid style.
Barcelona, Bayern Munich. Manchester United, Real Madrid.
Yes. Get in there.
My God,
Xabi Alonso.
Man City are going to get to the Final Four.
Let's do quick. God. Premier League.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Top two.
Man City and Chelsea.
Let's go to Serie A.
Juventus.
I'm going to go Inter Milan first, Juventus second.
Inter Milan don't have the legs, but I would love it.
Absolutely insane.
Right. Bundesliga.
Bayern Wolfsburg.
Dortmund.
Bayern Dortmund, I reckon. Then we got Liga.
PSG, obviously.
PSG, Lyon, I'd say.
And then La Liga. This is hard.
That's a tough one this season.
I'm going to go for Sevilla to win. And let's go for Valencia to just, you know, pip Barcelona into second place.
Yes, no, good point, Adam. And then what about the Scottish Premier Division? I'm going to go Celtic and then I'm going to go...
Rangers,
St Mirren.
I'm going to go Dundee United.
Decent.
All good, Dave. Great shout.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thank you.
I've only got a few minutes left here, so I'm going to try and move on. Do you think Muller will move to the Premier League eventually?
No.
And should he?
Yes, but no.
I like it. Cameron Sager says, how does current Manchester United spending spree compare to previous spending sprees by City and Chelsea? I would argue that Manchester United have spent a lot of money, but perhaps they've not bought the right players, Dave.
I'd agree. Different.
Wisely.
Different spending sprees, I'd say. I'd say the binges that City and Chelsea went on to win the Premier League in recent years is a bit more than Man United, but United have been pretty bad, to be fair.
I will say is St Mirren got relegated last season, so they're not going to be finishing second in the Scottish. Just so we're very clear, it was a long joke, but I just want to make sure that people know that.
Dale Payne again is asking. I asked this before. Which player would have been the best to stay longer? Who should have stayed longer at Manchester United? CR7, Ruud van Nistelrooy, or Eric Cantona?
Come on, mate, this is easy. We all know the answer to this question.
The interesting thing about Eric Cantona though was he left, didn't he? He left just before they won the Champions League.
Yeah. Good point. But still, But would they have won the Champions League? Would they have even got to the Champions League final with him, Dave?
That would have been brilliant, wouldn't it?
Ronaldo still at United is the dream, isn't it? Come on.
Yes, it is. Definitely. 100% the dream.
Daniel Roof on Twitter.
Baniel?
Apparently his username is Baniel.
Baniel.
He says, what do you make of David Beckham considering the James Bond role? Have you seen those Pepsi ads? Crying, laughing face.
I'd much rather have Idris Elba, but I don't know why he wants to take it. Sounds like a shitty role.
Dave's just humming the James Bond thing.
That's actually dumbing.
And I think the perfect question to end on from Ennison.
What page do we make it to?
On Twitter, he says, when does the hour-long special come out? It's out now. You're listening to it.
Friday, idiot! Yeah. You're listening to it, you moron!
We did it, lads.
We didn't make it through pages of questions. Yes, I skipped a few because that's how it goes.
Skipped a lot, but all right.
We are literally at the point where there are too many questions to answer every week.
That's not true.
That is literally true.
No, you're just lazy.
No, it's lazy. We'd be talking for 2 hours if we answered every single question. There's not enough time.
I have no problem with speaking for 2 hours. You know that, Adam.
I do.
Okay, yeah, and you're on holiday. All right, fair enough.
It's true. So listen, guys, that was the hour-long question special. We tried to get through as many as we could. As I said, we couldn't get through all of them, but please know that we do appreciate the support. We appreciate you sending all the questions in. Don't get annoyed. Don't get upset that we didn't answer your question. Ask another question next week. If we like it, we're going to answer it. There's always the chance that, you know, you're going to be featured on the show. We thought we'd do a special hour-long edition.
Answer your own bloody questions.
I think we did pretty well there. We whipped through a good, what, 30, 40, 50 questions there.
I don't know. What are you patting yourself on the back for? I don't...
You know, I'm impressed with, you know...
The speed.
With myself. Quality. I'm impressed with how quickly I've asked those questions.
Yes, I am.
How quickly those lips moved, eh?
Guys, thank you very much for listening. It's a pleasure to have you listening to us. Let's wrap it up as always. Dave, where can the good people, or the number 10s, or the holes, as we call in the audience now, where can they find more of your work, Dave?
Just on Twitter, but follow the at the front three if you haven't on Twitter. Ooh. We want to get it up. Ooh. We want to get the crowd. We want to get some debates going on Twitter. So follow that over anything else.
We almost have 1,000 followers on Twitter, but it's a very engaged,
very pumped up,
as evidenced by the amount of questions.
As engagement goes, it's almost 100%, I'd say.
Yeah, easy.
What I would say is, if you are a true fan of the front three, you will finish your Twitter profile with the words, "I am the hole." All right?
My God, you would have to be a very true fan.
You would have to be a really true fan. All you have to do is screenshot it and send it to us. I am the hole. Hashtag, I am the hole. All right?
I mean... Fair play to you.
The ultimate goal is to bring it to Pablo Aymar's attention and get him to put it on his Twitter.
Start a movement, guys. Let's start
the movement. I want to be Pablo Aymar's hole.
I mean,
we're all there. We all want to be
disturbing.
In it. It's tense. It's disturbing. Sometimes it's boring.
Lawrence, let me move it back on to where can the.
You can
holes.
Find me on Twitter if you search hashtag the hole.
Is it at Loz?
It's at Lozcast, L-O-Z. See, if the hole is not already taken, I'm taking that as my new Twitter handle. But if not, it's Lozcast, L-O-Z-C-A-S-T. And if people want to find you, Adam, where can they go?
At Adam Bold on Twitter. Just go there.
Hashtag the hole.
I've got a massive 1,200 followers. Let's get up to 1,300.
You shameless dick. No, get me up.
No, you know, I'm just, you know, trying to pump it up a little bit.
Yeah. You want to be up with at least Dave. What's Dave on? Dave's on like 16 grand or something?
It's not about a million.
Two followers.
Two?
No. No, a few.
2,000? 3,000?
A few lads.
Yeah.
The lasses.
How many followers you want, Dave? Really?
9,000.
It makes you look under.
Brag about it, mate.
Can we get Dave up to 10K by the end of the week? I wonder if we get...
No, Lawrence, you're asking too much of people. You're asking to hashtag.
Especially as it's a Friday.
Poll.
Hashtag the hole. Hashtag follow the hole. Come on.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it was a pleasure to have you listening to the front view. It was a pleasure of recording this special hour-long podcast. If you enjoyed it, let us know, because maybe we should be doing this on a more often basis. I don't know.
To use the hashtag.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No. All right.
There you go. Thank you very much for listening to Front Three. We will see you next week.